We're staying out on the water and exploring Wisconsin's underwater archaeology on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. One way we find clues about our history is through shipwrecks. Wisconsin has hundreds of them, and our cold water here preserves materials much better than salty ocean water. And that's why Great Lakes shipwrecks are considered some of the best in the world. What do you want to know about how underwater archaeologists investigate these sites? Do you ever go wreck diving in the Great Lakes? What are some of your favorite spots to explore? We're at 800-642-1234. Kathy Green is an underwater archaeologist and executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum at Manitowoc. Kathy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So when did you decide to become an underwater archaeologist? How did you get into that?
Yeah, well, I was actually working at a maritime museum, the Bermuda Maritime Museum, and there were a group of graduate students coming out to do a project in underwater archaeology. At the time, I didn't even realize that this was something one could do professionally. I had been working in museums and interested in the maritime world, but really looking at the material culture and doing the physical diving and exploring of these sites was new to me, and watching these folks work just really fascinated me and sent me on that track of study.
Well, take us down there. What is it like to explore a shipwreck? How do you do this?
Yeah, well, you know, the first step, and, you know, it's not the most exciting one, but it's the one that probably is most crucial, is before you get in the water, the first thing you're going to do is a lot of historical research, a lot of information gathering to find out about a site. And depending on if you're looking for something new, if you're documenting a known site, and your objectives for that, you're going to approach things a little differently. But as you mentioned, going under the water and getting to the site provides an additional challenge than if you were working on a terrestrial or a land site. So being able to scuba dive, being able to, in some cases on shallow wrecks, just snorkel over them, allows you to that access to the archaeological site itself.
And so once you get down there, I'm sure you have tools to be able to document what you're seeing, and cameras. You might have to write things down, I would assume.
Absolutely. And the technology has changed over the years, and actually just in the last 20 years that I've been doing this, the techniques you would use to document a site there are definitely more tools in the toolbox, but doing that manual visual inspection, doing some measuring, and as you said, doing some documentation, just writing down things underwater, drawing sketches, taking those measurements allows you to get that initial information, things like photography and even more comprehensive data collection through things like digital video and collecting a lot of information very quickly through various technologies allows you to have a good understanding of the site.
Kathy, why are there so many shipwrecks in the Great Lakes?
There are estimated to be over 10,000 shipwrecks in the Great Lakes, so that's an awful lot, over 700 in Wisconsin waters alone. And that has to do with the fact that the Great Lakes were some of the busiest waterways in the world. I mean, they are still very active waterways, but especially in the 19th century and early 20th century, there were thousands of these ships plying the lakes every single day. And so just the volume of shipping meant that a certain percentage of those are going to wreck. And you pile on top of that the environmental conditions here, the opportunities for extreme weather, for operator error, miscalculations in navigation, collisions, accidents like fire, that leads to a number of these sites becoming shipwrecks on the bottom.
And I understand some of these ships were intentionally sunk, that was, you know, a way of just getting rid of a ship.
Yeah, so Great Lake ships, as you mentioned, the cold, fresh water, it's a great preservative. So ships would survive here for quite a few years sometimes, and they would go through different chapters of their lives. So They might start out in one trade, maybe a specific cargo like grain or iron ore, and they might move to some other kind of trade or might even move to being a barge, and eventually they might turn into something like a dock structure and be built upon from there. And it really made more sense during the at the end of their lives for some of these owners to take them to an out-of-the-way place and just let them sink to the bottom and kind of settle in what are known as graveyard areas or areas that have these known sites. And if you were someone navigating the lakes, you could avoid those areas.
We're talking with Kathy Green. She is an underwater archaeologist and executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Do you go scuba diving in the Great Lakes? What kind of discoveries have you happened upon? Or are you considering getting certified so you can make those discoveries? What about this excites you? You can call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Rich now, joining us from Summers. Hi, Rich.
Good morning. Hey, without getting off the subject too much, interested in those stone pyramid structures that are in a few lakes around Madison.
So stone, you're wondering about stone pyramid structures. Are they sticking out of Madison Lakes?
No, they're on the bottom.
They're on the bottom. Kathy, do we know anything about these stone pyramid structures?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So shipwrecks are just one submerged cultural site here in the state. There are lots of other ones. And yeah, we're not just talking about Great Lakes. We're talking about sites on inland lakes as well. So there have been lots of other underwater sites found by archaeologists and divers, everything from trading posts, lumber mills, quarries, and then these odd structures, yeah, that you're referencing there. These are kind of, you know what, and I can't say definitively what these are, but these are sites that look like they could be man-made pyramid structures of rock stacked in the bottom of some of these inland lakes, and it's one of those underwater mysteries to what they actually are.
Kathy, when you talk about like shipwreck graveyards, are these sites actively explored by underwater archaeologists? Are they well documented?
Well, you know, that's a really great question. And the thing is, there are new sites like this being found all the time. So, yeah, it is an area of active exploration. One of the things lately that's caused a number of these sites to come to light are the clear visibility conditions in the lake, especially early in the spring. And there are a number of folks who like to explore these sites via low-flying aircraft or personal aircraft. So from the air, you can actually find a lot of these shallow abandonment sites then go back and document them either, again, through visual inspection or by diving to them.
Are there shipwrecks or underwater artifacts that can be traced back to Native American culture and history?
Absolutely. Native fishing gear and some early watercraft certainly have been found in Wisconsin waterways. Dugout canoes are kind of one of those more robust artifacts that folks do come across.
Oh, wasn't there one that was like a couple thousand years old found near Kenosha?
Yes, exactly. So estimated to be nearly 2,000 years old, it was discovered. And again, those preservation conditions at the bottom of the lakes, especially when things are covered with silt and mud, they can be preserved very, very well. Now, of course, when you bring things out, they begin to deteriorate. So that's one of the reasons that you shouldn't remove things from the water when you find them. But of course, in the past, and oftentimes with the best intentions, folks have done that. So there are some conservation techniques we can use to stabilize artifacts. These dugout canoes, though, are really interesting artifacts. Often you can see the tool marks of how they were made. And looking at the differences of where they were found and the ages of them, you can tell perhaps who made them or what tribes that they originate from.
So with water levels and currents, do these shipwrecks, do they move much at all, or do they stay put?
Well, you know, if something large, like, say, a Great Lakes schooner that would have been 130 to 170 feet long, if it's in deep water, it's probably going to stay largely where it sank. However, if you're in a more dynamic environment, as you mentioned, where things like waves, ice, and changing currents and water levels might affect a site, yeah, you can absolutely have things moving around. And when we've had all this high water, sometimes that can dislodge pieces from shallow sites and move them around.
So can you tell us about a ship called Home that's in Lake Michigan off the coast of Manitowoc County?
Yeah, the Home's an interesting wreck. It's a Great Lakes schooner, a fairly early one. It was it was built in 1843, and it sank in 1858. It was lost off of Manitowoc carrying lumber. But an interesting thing about the Home is that early in its career in the 1840s, it did a lot of work on Lake Erie out of Sandusky, Ohio, which was a known endpoint for the Underground Railroad. And the captain of the Home was a known abolitionist and known to be a collaborator for the Underground Railroad, along with a lot of the folks he worked with. And so it is very likely that the Home was used in her career to ferry escaped slaves across the lake into Canada. Now, there was never any documented cases of this, but it is known that that last leg across some of those lower Great Lakes into Canada was how many slaves escaped during that time period.
Talking with Kathy Green, she is our guide and underwater archaeologist. You can join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're exploring shipwrecks on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our state is home to more than 700 shipwrecks, but why did so many sink? According to Wisconsin Sea Grant, thousands of ships sailed in and out of our ports, and reaching way back in time, some older, rundown ships were abandoned in shallow water or intentionally set on fire. We're learning about what lies below with your questions, 800-642-1234. Kathy Green is our guide. She's an underwater archaeologist, and she heads up the Wisconsin Maritime Museum at Manitowoc. Kathy, we are talking about Home there. What is your favorite Wisconsin shipwreck to explore?
Well, you know, for me, it's not a single wreck, but examples of these Great Lakes schooners. So schooners were wooden ships and either two or three masts, and they were kind of the semi-trucks of their day. They carried everything around, especially bulk cargoes in the 1800s. They're just really interesting in that the construction is specific to the Great Lakes. Here we have shallow harbors, and the conditions for sailing are different than what they would be on the ocean. So the hull shape is kind of a big boxy shape versus a deep V if you were out on the ocean. And you needed a shallower draft, or less of the boat needs to be in the water because you would need to get into shallow harbors. And so they developed something called a centerboard that was used here on those schooners. Now, centerboards have been used on vessels all around the world, but the centerboards here were very large, and they allowed these vessels to basically drop a large piece down into the lake to allow you to sail out on deep water safely and efficiently, but be able to pull those up in harbor. It's just a really interesting kind of construction, and there are lots of examples here, especially in this kind of mid-Lake Michigan coastline. There's one, in fact, it's the earliest known shipwreck in Wisconsin called the Galley Nipper off the Manitowoc area. It's in deep water. It's in over 200 feet, and it's sitting upright on the bottom. Just a great example of this kind of construction. And when you dive sites like this, it's really easy to imagine yourself walking on the decks of those ships. What's really cool, I think, this weekend is you can, if you're not a diver, you can get an idea of what that might be like by seeing some of those schooners and other sailing ships up in Green Bay at the Top Ships Festival.
Yes, you can. So where can people go to learn more about all the latest archaeological discoveries in the Great Lakes? What is a good resource?
Well, you can come to the Wisconsin Maritime Museum, of course. We have an exhibit about these shipwrecks there, and talks about, and not only in the exhibit do we talk about the wrecks themselves, but there's a lot of hands-on interactives talking about how we document these sites, about underwater archaeology, some of the more high-tech tools like ROVs, underwater robots, and how we use those to explore the site. Looking online, an absolutely fantastic resource is a website through the Wisconsin Historical Society called Wisconsin Shipwrecks, and it's just wisconsinshipwrecks.org. They do fantastic work here at the state of Wisconsin, one of the best programs in the country for underwater archaeology. And you can look up the history of these sites. There are wonderful photographs and site plans of many of the shipwrecks here in Wisconsin.
And it's all these shipwrecks so well documented on that site. You can just get lost in there looking at shipwreck after shipwreck. Yeah. Well, Kathy, this has been fun. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm so happy to do it. Thank you.
Kathy Green is an underwater archaeologist. We've been learning about hundreds of shipwrecks here in Wisconsin, and Kathy is the executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum at Manitowoc. And now it is time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a visit to a summer celebration.
Wisconsin is known for throwing cultural and church festivals all summer long. And today, we're going to talk about one particular celebration, Greek Fest Plus in Madison, hosted every July by Assumption Greek Orthodox Church. Carol Griskovich talked with festival organizers about the history of the annual fest, their food, and the community.
It's my understanding that still, and I was digging into this, that we are the longest running ethnic festival in Madison. It's a Greek Fest Plus because we want to really honor all of the diverse ethnicities in our community. But it's really a reunion. It's a block party. It's a community event. And especially last year, people would come up to me and say they've never felt more welcome at a festival in Madison as they have at Greek Fest.
For many years, this was the only Eastern Christian church in this part of Wisconsin. And so as a consequence, all the Orthodox people from all over the world who lived in central and southern Wisconsin came here to this church, and they still do.
Jason, hey, happy birthday to your father.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even say that yet.
Well, the church was started, it was incorporated with the state of Wisconsin in 1951, and it was a group of primarily Greek immigrants that relocated here in the Madison area that began the church.
My grandfather came at age 16 with some male relatives, and they began working on the railroad. They settled in Madison and opened up a restaurant, the Coney Island. First, it was located, I believe, on the 2nd block of State Street, and then later it moved to the 300 block of State Street.
Oh, should we just get like a variety pack?
Hi. Can I have 4 baklava, please?
And we brought back this year the traditional Coney dog, Coney Island dog, which is how so many of the Greek immigrants made their living coming to America. And they brought with them the secret, the spices and the cumin and the cinnamon and to add to this puree sauce that gets spooned over a hot dog.
I'm going to leave one spice out, just so no one knows. We've got cayenne, cloves, cinnamon, of course, oregano, of course, paprika, allspice, and a mystery spice. Garlic powder, onion powder, butter. Actually, butter. is what caught me off guard with the recipe. It's like it's going to give it a really kind of a thick richness. We're going to cook it down so it's thick. We're going to puree it. So it's not chili sauce. This is Coney sauce. It's very specific to Greek immigrants.
Have you sampled the Coney sauce that we are using during Greek Fest? Because from what I have been told, we're using your father's recipe.
I have not, because I have never been fond. Isn't that terrible? Our bread and butter, and I was never fond of the chili sauce.
That's who we are as the church, who we are as Orthodox Christians. That familial bond that we already have through our worship is just transferred out into the celebration of our ethnic heritage and bringing of all of these people together. 2 days of this huge festival that just brings our excitement for one another out.
That was Georgiana Wilton, Father Michael Vanderhoof, David Giffey, and Patty Notes. Music by Rhythmos and Sergei Belkin. That story was brought to us by WPT's Carol Griskovich, who is also a member of the church. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend. We'd love to see them. mornings@wpr.org. That address is mornings@wpr.org. And we'll explore your tip for a future Wisconsin Weekend program. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.